sky's the limit for this guy.
Well, Richard Wilson offers prints and originals for sale at his website, richardwilsonart.com.
People will be flooding that website, I'm
sure. I plan to, certainly.
Soon your social media inbox could be flooded from people who are not your friends or family.
Debt collectors will be able to send an unlimited number of text messages, emails, and hit you up on social media.
Live on Your Side's Monica Liberty explains the new rule and how it could affect you, even if you don't owe any money. It's one of the stories we are following right now on WRAL News at 6.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
North Carolina made a change today that impacts nearly every one of us. State health officials simplified the vaccine plan. It's a significant shift that impacts senior citizens, teachers, college students, other frontline workers, and many other groups. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm David Crabtree. We have already heard questions from so many of you, and we're here to help. In the next half hour, we want to help you understand the changes, know who's eligible for an appointment now, and who has to wait. The biggest change today opened up eligibility to an entire new age group.
If you are 65 and older, or you are a healthcare worker, it is your time.
65 or older, and all healthcare workers, no conditions. WREL's data trackers examined the numbers and found changing the age requirement alone means more than 1.6 million people across the state can now be vaccinated sooner. County by county in the viewing area, Northampton with the most 65 and older, we're talking about 27% of that county's population. Warren County, Chatham, and more fall in right behind that at about 24%. The impact is lower, yet still meaningful here in the Triangle. Take a look at this. Orange County at 15, Durham at 14, Johnston also at 14, Wake and Cumberland at 12%.
Well, vaccine providers are shifting gears quickly. Since the announcement today, we've already started seeing counties accepting appointments for those 65 and older. UNC Health is doing the same at its facilities across the state. Johnston County already vaccinated its first residents in the new age group. Officials there brought more doses to a clinic already in progress when that change became official. WRAL's Joe Fisher was there when it happened. And Joe, what was the reaction?
Deborah, a lot of excitement and a lot of interest. Around 10 o'clock this morning, there was actually no line at all for a COVID-19 vaccine here at North Johnston High School. But right after that announcement from the governor opening this vaccine up to people 65 and older, just imagine this. Almost every single parking spot here in this large lot was filled with people wanting to get their shot. In this crowd of cars is 72-year-old Freddie Nairon and his wife after getting a call from their daughter telling them they could get the shot.
I stopped immediately what I was doing, got in my pickup, got my wife, and came down here.
800 people got vaccinated in about 5 hours.
We've got four stations going currently with nurses there giving the shots.
Johnston County is now left with just 200 doses and about 25,000 eligible residents. The county says these drive-through events are the quickest way to give out the limited supply.
Once we have more vaccine in our system and supplies really there, we'll probably look to do more appointments.
All healthcare workers are also now eligible. Abdurrahman Hinton is a mental health worker who's putting his health above some hesitancy.
You know, I used to be kind of apprehensive and conspiracy theory, but I don't have that luxury because I'm 50 and older, have an autoimmune deficiency, and I work on the front line.
Many hope their decision to get vaccinated will eventually lead to more freedom.
I have a new granddaughter who's going to be born in 3 months, and I want to be as protected as I can so I can spend as much time with my children and my grandchildren as I possibly can.
And those people who were out here today waited about 90 minutes in line from start to finish. The county did not schedule any appointments for second doses because they say it is unclear at this point exactly how many doses will be allocated to them in the coming weeks. They are expecting more doses next week. And if all goes well, Deborah, they tell me that they hope to have another mass vaccination event next Wednesday here in Johnston County.
Well, the process certainly moving quickly there in Johnston County. Joe Fisher live for us. Thank you, Joe. Well, after a slow rollout, Durham is one of the cities leading the way with mass vaccination sites. The county health department plans to open a mass vaccination site at Southern High School next week. This effort is in partnership with Duke Health. The logistics of how it will operate are being ironed out right now. It will be open Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 8 p.m. Those who are eligible for the vaccine must call for an appointment. We've compiled the information you need in order to get your shot. The WREL app has a county-by-county look at vaccine options, including phone numbers and registration information. It's also on WREL.com. And this is a good time to remind you, getting the vaccine is not the all clear to return to your pre-COVID life. Coming up tonight on our news at 7, we explain the timeline for the vaccine to take effect and what you need to know until that point.
So with moving that many people forward in line, someone has to take a step back. This is a look at the new order. We are here right here in group two. It talks about older adults. Following that, frontline essential workers, then adults at high risk, as you heard the gentleman in Joe's piece, with increased risk of severe illness. And then at the bottom here would be everyone else. We're talking about people that just were left out of this list because everything has changed. Now, there's one group left off of this list. We're talking about college students, someone we had seen in the past. And they're a group of people who are concerned about college students coming back on campus with their safety. And Amanda Lamb is joining us now live with this story as people within the UNC system say we are not all that comfortable. Amanda?
That's right, David. You know, if you guys have been watching our coverage this week, we've reported on two clusters, one at NC State and one at UNC Chapel Hill. And now we're learning how many employees on these campuses have been tested positive for COVID. Now, NC State tells us they have 8,000 faculty and employees. That includes all staff. 71 of them have tested positive for COVID in the past 10 days, and most of them have not been on campus for 2 weeks. UNC Chapel Hill tells us they have 13,000 faculty and staff, 96 positive cases. That's since January 1st. And you know, what we're hearing from these workers is we want transparency. If there's a COVID cluster in a building, we want to know about it before or when it happens, and not after the fact.
The NC State dance team is full of school spirit. But right now, school spirit has a new meaning, working together to prevent the spread of the virus.
I think that we're all concerned about, like, limiting the spread of this pandemic that's going on, and that we're all trying to be very careful.
New COVID clusters were identified at UNC Chapel Hill and NC State as students return for the spring semester.
You're not doing enough. We don't feel safe.
Graduate student instructor Laura Bray joined other campus workers at the state legislature today to share concerns about students coming back.
The numbers right now are just so high that it's not going to be enough to be able to control an outbreak.
We know that the virus is still going to be out there, right? It's still out here now, and we're going to have positive cases.
NC State believes they have a good plan to protect students and staff, involving more sanitizing, testing, social distancing, and PPE.
The university is distributing masks to every employee on campus. They did that in the fall as well, so that will continue.
I feel very safe with the way that NC State's handling it because they're taking their time. They're making sure every student and faculty member is tested before coming back.
We should have minimum number of students and workers on campus right now. So any class that can be done online should be done online.
Now, this is a petition, a list of demands signed by 138 workers today asking for some changes to be made to make them safer on campus. They say the number one thing, David, is having classes virtually instead of in person.
Just be safe. Amanda Lamb reporting live. Amanda, thanks.
An update now on the Wake County School Board meeting. We've been tracking the meeting starting at 3:45, and you can see it is still in session more than 2 hours later. Two looming questions on the agenda. When should students stop learning remotely, and when do they come back? Should fourth and fifth grades come back for all-person instruction? WREL's Kirsten Gutierrez is watching for those votes and will bring them to us live when we know what happened. 2020 left millions of people in debt. New rules this year allow debt collectors to reach out in new ways. Coming up, Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty explains the changes and how it can impact people with no debt at all. Then,
we're proud of him. We're proud that he served here.
A Capitol officer who potentially saved lives as rioters stormed the U.S. Capitol has ties to our area. Coming up, the high honor he could soon receive for his actions. Mike?
Well, Deb, we had a wee bit of rain come on by last night. That's that system moving away. This next front is approaching, bringing rain for your day tomorrow. We'll outline what to expect for your Friday and your Saturday coming up.
As Washington finds itself under a spreading blanket of security, more warnings from the FBI about potential plots by extremists to strike elsewhere. Also, too easily overlooked, will shine a light on the elderly going hungry on NBC Nightly News.
Back now in the Live Center, I'm Mark Boyle with some breaking news from the Harnett County Sheriff's Office. These three people, here's the first photograph, here's the second and the third, facing first-degree murder charges and the death of Charles Bias earlier this week. On your screen is some video from the scene. He was killed inside his place of business there in Harnett County. Those three suspects facing charges of first-degree murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and conspiracy to commit robbery. It's unclear exactly at this point what the motive is, what forced all three of these people into the business to take that man's life. All of that is under investigation, according to the sheriff's office tonight. Any other updates, we'll have them for you here in the Live Center or on the WRAL News app. Back to you.
Mark, thank you. Determined, relentless, and at times just simply mean. Debt collectors have a reputation. They're also about to have expounded boundaries and how they reach you. Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty explains what's changing.
It could potentially be like robocalls on steroids with endless messages on Facebook, Twitter, even text messages. Changes taking effect later this year will impact many people already struggling to pay bills. Debt collectors calling? Starting later this year, they can send unlimited text, emails, and even messages on social media. It impacts an estimated 70 million people, the one in four adults who have a bill in collections.
Debt collection is always a top complaint for our office.
Attorney General Josh Stein is against some of the changes approved by the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau.
I, along with 27 other attorneys general, issued comments about a year ago, urging them not to do a number of the things that they are doing. And so I'm disappointed with some of the rules that they are adopting.
Yes, we all need to pay what we owe, but the concern is when it becomes harassment. Right now, debt collectors can call you between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. The hours won't change, but with the new rules, they will be allowed to call you up to seven times a week per debt. And they can also email, text, and message you on social media. So the 18 million Americans who have more than one bill in collections could get a lot of calls, emails, and messages.
Hello?
Another concern, the new law does not require companies to verify the money that's owed. So you could be contacted simply by having the same name as someone or about debt recently paid off. The collection industry describes the changes as, quote, a small step forward in modernizing communications with consumers, adding in 2019, the industry returned $90 billion back to small businesses and other creditors.
A lot of people are going to be having trouble paying their bills and meeting their financial obligations because of the pandemic and so much job loss. If you get behind, it is so much better for you to affirmatively reach out to whoever you owe money to try to work out a plan than it is to just kind of put your head in the sand and wish that you weren't going through the times you're going through.
Now, if contacted, consumers can request verification of the debt. You should receive it within about 5 days. If you don't recognize the debt, you should check your credit report at one of the three main credit reporting agencies just to make sure that you're not a victim of identity theft. You can do that at annualcreditreport.com. It is completely free. By the way, these changes are set to take effect in October. Monica LaLiberty, WRAL News 5 on your side.
Great information. We are learning a Capitol police officer hailed a hero for single-handedly trying to hold off rioters storming the Capitol, served at Fort Bragg. In this viral video, you can see one lone officer facing off with protesters forcing their way inside. That man is Eugene Goodman, an Iraq combat veteran who served in the 18th Airborne Division. During those tense moments last week, he led the mob away from the Senate chamber. Now he could receive a high honor for his actions. Fort Bragg officials want the world to know he was a hero long before last week.
He represents the values of the 18th Airborne Corps, you know, and he's a soldier for life. We're proud of him. We're proud that he served here. It is a great story, and it's a story maybe that people in the country need to hear right now.
This afternoon, three U.S. representatives introduced a bipartisan bill to award Officer Goodman with the Congressional Gold Medal for his quick actions, buying security time to evacuate the Senate chambers.
Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and we invite you to begin the day with us. You can watch the 41st annual MLK Triangle Interfaith Prayer Breakfast Monday morning at 8. We will also stream it live on WREL.com. Gerald Owens is the MC. If you miss it, the program will re-air on Fox 50 at noon. Capital Broadcasting Company is a proud sponsor. Meteorologist Mike Mace joining us now from the WREL Severe Weather Center. Mike, we had a lovely afternoon. Mm-hmm. Changes are coming.
Yeah, we had a half and half day today with the first half being cloudy, the second half being bright. Tomorrow's the opposite. We're going to have a bright start, but a dingy afternoon with rain rolling on in. Looking pretty good out there right now. We've cooled down 10 degrees since our high earlier today out at RDU, 45. It was 54 in Fayetteville earlier today. You were one of the areas that were the last to see the sunshine come out earlier today. 49 right there right now, 43 at Roxborough, 39 in South Hill. So our hour-by-hour plan of this evening, mainly clear sky, temperatures cooling off quickly, 30s by midnight. Here in the Triangle, rural locations will likely be that way earlier this evening, 34 by 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, and a dry start for the day. So here is your Friday planner. Mostly sunny skies in the morning by 8 a.m. for the morning commute. You will need your sunglasses. It'll be cold, 35. By lunchtime, we start to see the clouds roll on in, 20% chance of rain, 51. And on the drive home tomorrow afternoon, there will be some rain in the area, especially from the Raleigh area and to the west. Our eastern counties probably won't start to see the rain till 6, maybe 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Temperature by 4 o'clock, about 54. Now, what's interesting about our upper-level wind pattern that's set up, we have a deep trough of low pressure that's being carved out in the nation's midsection. And you notice the streamlines coming in from Canada. The freezer door is open, but there's no cold air, really. Take a look at the numbers. 32 at Denver, 40 at Great Falls, and that air is coming from central Canada. So there really hasn't been any pooling of cold air across Canada. So with the freezer door open, there's really not a whole lot of really deep cold coming on in. So the chill that we have coming back this weekend will be where we should be for this time of year, upper 40s to about 50. So here's how the system evolves. We have a big upper level area of low pressure. It's a cold pocket of air aloft generating instability and some snow showers across the plains, the Ohio Valley. There's our front, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Rain begins to approach from about 3 o'clock to about 10 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll have rain in the area, but by 11 o'clock, the rain's at the coast. Then we have the upper level low coming in for Saturday. That produces a lot of wind. The air's colder. Instability may generate some precipitation. So let's check out forecast for Saturday. Starting in the morning at 6 a.m., we have some cloud cover. It'll be a chilly start. With the instability, we'll have partly to mostly cloudy skies. It won't be a bad day, really. It'll be cooler than what we'll have for tomorrow. At lunchtime, enough instability, maybe some sprinkles, maybe a snowflake or two. Notice forecast showing a little bit of activity. This is a new model that just came in that shows less activity than what I believe CAT showed at 4 o'clock today. By 5 o'clock, there could be a few sprinkles or a snow flurry, but overall should be an uneventful day, but just a very tiny chance, a 20% chance for some precipitation. So our forecast tonight, mostly clear skies, 30s for lows, 33 in Roxborough, 34 here in Raleigh, 34 in Southern Pines and Fayetteville. And then for the day tomorrow, morning sunshine, afternoon clouds with a chance for rain, highs in the 50s to maybe 60 in Goldsboro and Clinton, because you folks will be the last to see any rain and you'll be the last to lose the sunshine. 7-day forecast, weekend's not bad. It's breezy Saturday, partly cloudy Sunday, 50. Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, still holding with our 49 and partly cloudy skies, Deb.
Boy, the weather just keeps changing around here. Thanks, Mike. Well, are you ready for some hockey? I know I am. Chris Lee is here.
We have to take every win we can get for the last 10 months. The Carolina Hurricanes had morning skate today, which means, oh, there's an actual game to play next in sports. We previewed a Canes season opener on the road against the Detroit Red Wings tonight. What the team is saying, plus some big news in the sports scene around our area and our state next. Good to have you back, Canes. That's what a short and sweet tweet said from the Carolina Panthers to the Carolina Hurricanes this morning as the Canes are set to start their season tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. The Canes players themselves are just glad to be back after not playing it in almost 5 months. No preseason games, no playing any other teams in that time. So when the puck hits the ice tonight, these Canes will see just how good they really are.
Teams haven't played in a while. Like you said, you can have scrimmages or play some game situation stuff in practice, but you can never really replicate the game. So it'll be good to get out there today and get that feel back and start getting into a rhythm now and start playing a lot more.
The Canes and Red Wings will open up their seasons tonight in Detroit. The puck drops at 7:30. We'll have highlights and post-game reaction tonight at 10 and 11. The new normal is that no game is guaranteed until it actually happens. NC State has learned that hard lesson plenty of times this season. Their men's basketball game against Georgia Tech, scheduled for Saturday, has been postponed. A positive test within the Wolfpack men's basketball program and contact tracing protocols is the reason for the postponement. This will be the fifth postponed or canceled game of the season for the Pack due to COVID-19. About 80 miles to the east, East Carolina men's basketball is pausing all team activities because of their recent COVID-19 struggles. The school says multiple individuals within their program tested positive for COVID-19, and as a result, the Pirates' upcoming games against Temple and South Florida have been postponed. Back in the Triangle, North Carolina FC head coach Dave Sarakin is no longer with the team. The team announced his departure this morning. He led NCFC to 6 wins in 2020 after a shortened season due to COVID-19. The Carolina Panthers announced that they have offered Scott Fitterer their general manager role. Fitterer has been with the Seattle Seahawks since 2001. Usually teams will just announce when somebody has accepted the job, but they announced that they offered it to him, so I guess they're trying to push him along into accepting that role.
Put a little pressure on. Thanks, Chris.
And thank you for joining us. NBC Nightly News is up next, followed by WREO's News at 7.
We hope you'll join us tonight for our news at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 here on WREL. Have a great night, everybody.